Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hope this is the right track. It is. Okay, here we go.
Summer drinking, endless rosé.
How are these fuckers not all in AA?
Pretty people with booming careers.
Lover boy, enough to last 7 years.
Hampton's clubs don't activate hubs. India, oh, the summer house. Oh, well, oh, well,
sing
oh,
it
well.
With us.
Tell me more, tell me more.
Will they take Hannah's calls? Can we see Carl's three balls?
Shoo bop bop, 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 yeah.
Listen, I'm just gonna be me. And when the universe opens that door, I'm gonna look at that door. I'm gonna say, if he's got a big dick, and he does, I'm gonna walk on in. I'm gonna walk in that door.
Gonna let that universe fuck me, raw dog me.
Cause sex is an open door.
You know, that's one of the only songs I like from that musical or that movie.
This summer, Lindsay's gonna be all whore. I meant that in a sex positive way.
It really upsets me when we're just fucking around that your voice is just so free and you can hit anything.
I'm so sorry. Was that a high note?
That was like a good G.
Really?
Yes. It's what I try to do with you.
It's like you say, when singers think is when they fuck it up.
Yeah. Shockingly, you actually think.
Yeah, I do, sometimes. Not with names.
This is Summer House.
This is Summer House.
This is Reality Gaze Summer House.
Season 6.
Pernerp.
I was just waiting for that. It's not a prenup. It's a what?
It's a prenope.
It's a prenerp.
Pernerp.
Pernerp.
Sounds the same in Rodney E's.
It does. God.
Pernerp.
I still say, y'all, we need Mary Millions to come back.
It was the golden age, really.
Oh.
Not the Gilded Age. The Gilded Age is coming back for season 2, as we all know.
It is.
And they've added more series regulars.
I've watched it all. I enjoy it now.
Donna Murphy as Mrs. Astor has been made a series regular. So has Kelly O'Hara.
Oh.
That's right. What did you think now that you're through with it? What did you think?
It's not as compelling to me as Downton
it's
Abbey
not.
Was.
No.
I feel like this show winks at us a little bit more.
This show is gayer than Downton Abbey.
Yeah. There's a little
infinitely
bit,
gayer. Mostly for Bertha Russell and Christine Baranski.
But I didn't know. I'd heard the term nouveau riche.
Yeah.
I didn't know this is where
New York.
I didn't know this is I knew what it was and I heard it, but I didn't know the timeline and historically in America.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Well, because now this is about what if you don't watch the show, this is about the fact that there used to be an kind of American aristocracy where everyone had family money and you just kind of lived off of that. And from industry.
All of them came from England.
Yes.
From a, what's the word? When it's a not a monarch, it's a type of class.
I don't know.
Kings, queens, lords.
Aristocracy.
Aristocracy. That's not the right word I'm thinking, but that's fine. Yeah. Thank you.
But when you make your money new.
So it's like in America, we came and you don't really have that. So it's almost like they create.
There's a generational wealth.
It's all bullshit, but at least
No, it's not.
But it is. I mean, it is in like, when it comes, like England, people are kings and queens because of bloodlines and things like that.
Right.
Whereas here, it's just scarcity-minded Americans were like, we have to claim this generational thing and make ourselves.
Right. I'm saying that's revisionist history for you to say it's bullshit. Because it was the classism and the structure.
No, it wasn't bullshit then. It was life.
Right.
It was
right.
life. But I'm saying it is, when looking back on it, it's a totally fabricated system.
I know, but I think anyone would agree to you with that. I'm saying.
Yeah. I know. I'm not trying to make any like world, but I'm just saying that it's such an American thing.
I would agree that now. I would agree that our class system now is fabricated. So yeah.
I'm just saying you understand, to me, it helps me as somebody likes history, it makes me understand just America even more, and that, it's like, honestly, it's kind of what RuPaul says, like, all of this is drag, what we do. Like,
yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about the United States is that we talk about this in LA, like you were saying on another podcast, like LA is a city, whatever you want it to be for you,
it molds you.
Granted, it's harder for lots of other people of different races and sexes, so I'm not, but this is a country where, I mean, people can create themselves from, it doesn't necessarily matter always where they came from.
Yeah.
And so this just, I like that aspect of it. It makes me think of just, it, and also too, to see what, I wish, the gay man in me wishes Audra McDonald was in it more. I hope that she's in more for season two, just because I love her.
I don't know if she's been up. I don't know if she was on that list of season two regulars.
I didn't read the article, but I like it. I'm finally catching up on stuff. Right now, I'm almost done with that.
What it does show you is there was a certain time in America, and a lot of people don't know this, that where there was an American aristocracy.
Yes.
That we always think it's been, you make your money and then it's like blah, blah, blah. There are rich people, but it's like these were people living off generational wealth.
Yeah. And honestly, and some would argue it's very different now, but it's like you said now, our classes in this country.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just as fucked up. It's just we don't have these, it's almost like people are hiding behind a curtain and not saying.
Right.
But
it's all oblique now.
Yeah,
yeah, totally.
Because actually, I think the wealth gap is, I don't know,
even greater.
It was, but I believe it's even greater than it was then.
Yep. Yay. Well, and this is, the show is a microcosm of all of New York at that time, where there was new money from people doing like stuff like railroads, like the Russells. Mm-hmm. And old money, which was coming from generational wealth from the founding of America.
Yeah, and I see a lot of it. It's like what's happened with tech in America, with Silicon Valley. There was a lot of people like...
That's new money.
That's new money. And also that was, a lot of people coming in that weren't necessarily white.
Yeah.
That were, and people were upset about, that we were used to oil money in this country.
Right.
So it's...
And then you get to, when we're talking about it on Below Deck, you get to when I say, oh, these are definitely venture capitalists.
Yeah.
The new money who are awful.
Yeah.
So that it hasn't really changed.
It hasn't.
Can we talk about this show?
Yeah. Let's talk about Summer House season six.
What's your first teabag?
Okay. My first teabag is some sissies came for us. Because we couldn't remember, because literally we just watched it, but we still can't remember. And they actually said and brought and showed receipts with the whole fight. We were kind of like, why did Sierra and Paige come for Lindsay? Lindsay inserted herself
into the
conversation. And maybe just because we love Hubs, we forget. So it was kind of like looking at that and then.
Well, she was kind of like putting herself in the same boat as Carl, I think, what people were saying.
The same boat, yes, as you mean as Andre. Andrea.
That's what I mean. Yes, thank you.
And so she totally inserted hers and kind of made it about her.
Right.
And so I saw that and I was like, I went back and watched it, and I was like, oh, yeah,
that
she did.
She did.
So she, yeah. So anyway, so.
I still don't get why Sierra was heard about it.
Well, I don't get that either. Yeah. But,
but I agree.
Totally think Sierra and Paige had every right to go in on her.
Right.
Because she brought it on herself. And so when Amanda's going, because we're still seeing this now, her and Amanda are having this,
Amanda.
Her and Amanda are having this kind of drunk conversation. And
is this your teabag? You're recounting.
Okay. Yeah, this is my teabag. Because I'm just believing that we're in this fight again still, the aftermath of that. And Amanda says, you know, every person you love, you leave a little bit of them with you.
This is such Amanda bullshit.
And then Lindsay just answering, going, but my heart is huge.
I know.
It's huge.
I know what Amanda's trying to do, but it's coming off as disingenuous.
Yes, it's coming off as disingenuous from Amanda. And it, you know, Lindsay is trying to work on, is Amanda totally wrong? No, because she's right. If Lindsay was having a hot girl summer, she literally wouldn't be screaming and crying about all these guys who hurt her.
I
understand
I would
Amanda's
say,
point.
I would say, let's not decide what that is for Lindsay.
But I was going to, but it's not Amanda.
Right.
So Amanda looks like, this doesn't look like fun, but that's, this
is Lindsay. None of your business.
This is Lindsay's definition
you really,
of fun.
Yes, you've spent time with her. I guarantee you they probably never spent any time alone.
No.
Yeah.
Never.
That's why it felt orchestrated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What's yours?
The next thing I have, I went past a lot of this stuff about, because it's almost like we've forgotten this and we've moved on to their last weekend there.
Yeah, kind of, because Paige and Andrea make up, they're fine.
Yeah,
it's
like,
everything's good.
One of my things is Lindsay and Danielle are sleeping in the same bed.
After they go
and
out. I'm
Carl,
glad that Lindsay asked Maya to go out.
I know, I did note that. And Maya went for the first time.
Maya went.
I think Lindsay asked Maya, she said she wasn't going, but Kyle was the one who got her to go out.
Yes, yes.
Maya, you're going out.
He put on a wig, that means you're going out.
And Carl's like, oh, Lindsay, I was surprised to see you in Daniel's bed. And I think they're really trying to lay the foundation here. Later on, there's a scene with them buying plants in New York. So he's interested.
I mean, yeah.
Whether she's going out with Ahmed or not.
Together.
Yeah.
They're setting that out. Definitely laying that out. I want to talk about how, and I'm glad we had this conversation because we were kind of like, what is happening? So Paige is this, she's going to go there later. And we can talk about it now. Well, I know that's going to be its own separate teabag. But Paige is doing this thing for Access Hollywood where she's doing clothes. And so she asked Sierra to go with her to New York. And I'm glad that
it's when they're back in New York.
But Paige and Sierra, well, they have a conversation at the house with Paige and Sierra. And is it Amanda?
I don't know.
Is it Lindsay or is it Danielle?
I think
it's Danielle.
Know.
But they have a conversation at the house, and I'm glad because this is where Sierra is kind of like, I don't know what I want to do with my life, which is fine because she's 25 years old. And again, she brings up, which I'm glad, you know, as Paige said, Paige was like, your life is so much more together than I was at fucking 25 years old. I mean, imagine at 25 years old, she's already been a nurse, like saving lives, and she was in the ICU. We brought this up before. We imagined, and we were right. Sierra's like, she's got fucking trauma from seeing so many people die in New York that she really is. I don't blame her for not wanting to. A lot of nurses are really overexhausted.
In Atlanta.
No, she was a nurse. Oh, wait, she was in Atlanta in the ICU. Yes, she just moved to New York. Sorry. But still, watching people die in the ICU. And it was, I'm just glad that we finally, like, good job finally producers on this moment of kind of, because we've been like, wait a minute, she's meeting with the nurse, what's happening? We can kind of just put a pin in this that y'all, Sierra wants to take a break from nursing, as she should.
I agree.
And be a model. Good for her.
I just felt it. I wrote down, shocking that she wants to choose modeling.
I would too. If A, I looked like her, and B, I just had a job where I worked really hard to people just consistently die in front of me.
I think the difference is, I think if she was, and I'm not in any position to question if she had a real heart for nursing or not, or it was just something she thought she would do that
she
would be able.
Well, I think her mom went into it, I think she said. So, I don't know. But I don't know if that, whether she had a heart, I don't know if that's even.
That's what I'm saying. I can't.
I don't know if that's the point, though, at this, because I know a lot of, even just being back friends in like Oklahoma and some, and I don't know a lot in LA, but in Oklahoma, that there's a lot of nurses and medical people that did have a heart for it.
Right.
And after what's happened, they're just.
No, I agree.
Completely just spent.
No, but I'm saying, I wonder.
But I don't know if that was like her passion.
That's what I was going to say. It seems like it was, for me, it seemed like for someone who had Sierra's opportunities, it seemed like an easy choice.
Like her mom did it. She's smart.
Right.
She could go to school. She could get this degree. Well, could get her to, also, she could travel.
She got out of nursing school probably when she was 20, 22.
Yeah.
And she's been a nurse for, she was a nurse for 2 years.
For, yeah, 25, like two, yeah. Three, four. Depends on if she did, we don't know if she did her bachelor's of science, like her RN, like a 4-year degree.
Yeah.
Sometimes people, because you can be an LPN, which is like, I think, 6 or 8 months.
And I don't know.
You
yeah.
can do a nursing, it's like an associate. You can get an associate's degree and be a nurse.
Right.
So she could have been being a nurse since she was 20.
That's
or
true.
Or 21, technically. Potato, potato. Not that
But I'm
long.
Saying it doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like a hard choice to me.
Yeah, yeah. Not so, for me. If I looked like her,
yeah,
I'd be naked right now on this couch.
But I'm saying, I feel like the show tried to make us think it was a hard choice.
No, that's why I'm glad they finally just did this so we can put a pin with this.
Me
and
too.
Move on.
I was happy about it too.
Because it was like they needed a plot point. I'm like, y'all, she just with no. It's a very hard no.
Anyway, this, so that was your teabag, you said.
Yep.
Okay. My next one is meeting Amanda's parents. Who, y'all, if you don't know this, they haven't always had the best relationship with Kyle.
I don't know this. I haven't seen those past seasons.
Yeah, especially her father.
Her father's not fucking around.
Well, I will say, this whole thing went a lot better than I thought it was going to go.
It went a lot better. I want to say just before my kind of teabag is, they're talking to her parents because Amanda says
Frank
back
and
at the
Donna.
House. Yes, but before they get there, Amanda says, you know, you got to talk to my parents because, you know, I don't really do money stuff. I don't even know how much money I have in my bank account.
I wrote that down, too. No wonder Kyle wants a prenup.
And I actually wrote, Kyle should get a prenup.
Yeah, that's exactly when I went,
I have to say, and I'm going to talk about it a bit more. I saw Kyle in a completely different light this episode, and I feel for him.
Mm-hmm.
And because I always thought Amanda was trying to work and do stuff with Kyle. I think probably she works a little bit, but it kind of, this episode made me see Amanda as lazy, entitled, and just not really wanting to put in her fair share.
I don't know if I saw her as lazy. I saw her as completely out of the loop and kind of happy to be there.
But to me, that's late. To me, okay. I interpret that. That's
I know
I
that
it.
Word's supercharged to me, and for a lot of people. So
but
I try
just
not
when
to
someone
use
says,
it.
"Oh, it's just, it's too confusing to me. This is too much to me." To me, that's
I agree.
And
yeah,
I think I get triggered by that too because I knew a lot of when I was in high school, and there was just a group of like really, you know, guys do it too. So but for me, my experience, there was just a group of like really pretty girls that kind of got everything and they always passed the buck and said, and just didn't take.
Yeah.
When we do clubs, they weren't ever helping out. And they're like, I just don't know how. And I'm like, you're a useless person.
I see.
What can you do? So I know that's a trigger for me.
I think also you grew up in a family where you were decided that lazy was the worst thing you could be.
Oh, my father drilled that into me. That's the worst thing, worst character flaw anybody could be.
I was told not to do it, but my parents never thought either of us were. So, because my brother and I worked for my father starting at the age of 12.
Yeah.
So we had to,
my brother and I did.
We had to learn discipline. And
honestly,
when you do work and you're earning your own money, and you have to buy a shit car. And I will say, my brother, my parents finally relented and bought my brother a truck because he needed to get places. Guess what he did with that truck?
Wrecked it.
He wrecked it.
My dad wrecked his
brother. Within 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And guess what happened when he had to drive the car he paid for, his piece of shit car?
It went fine.
Yeah.
No, my brother wrecked his, and then the second one he didn't. But it does go to show, I kind of feel like, I don't know them that well, but I just from hearing this conversation, I went, moreover, this is on you, Amanda's parents, because you have
they babied her.
You have babied her and spoiled her.
No, that's...
And she hasn't had to work.
Kyle has said
anything.
That earlier. Kyle has said that earlier in the seasons.
I like Kyle. I've never been a huge Kyle fan, but I liked him. I've honestly kind of been more of a Amanda fan.
We see the worst of him on the show.
But this switched it
for me. And he's fine with it.
I'm like totally just like, oh man, Kyle, this is,
yep.
You're going to marry this person and then it's going to, y'all are going to have two babies, but you're going to have three children.
She's going to be great for certain things, but things that are big overwhelm her.
I think she's going to be the fun parent.
Yep, maybe.
I just want to do the fun things with them. Kyle, can you change the diaper? Kyle, can you all of this?
So basically, just to follow up with this, you guys, the parents are like, they have to be the one saying, so the father's like, so we need to sign off on the music. You also need to have you got a marriage license yet? And he's like, I haven't even thought about that. And it's like, you can tell Kyle is afraid to either, maybe he's worried she won't do it or he's too worried about taking it all on himself. But he won't delegate anything to her.
Nope, because he knows it won't get done.
Right. And so...
That's probably why she's doing less and less with Loverboy, right. Because he knows she won't get anything
done.
And
so there's a 200-person wedding in their backyard that the parents are helping with.
The parents are helping with.
And everything they're saying, TBD, TBD, TBD. And the parents are like, okay. And y'all, so they're there for the cake testing. This is another teabag of mine, but I just need to ask, has Funfetti won?
Yes.
Has Funfetti beaten me?
Funfetti is now a wedding cake thing. You're going to get ready. You're going to go to a wedding, and there's going to be Funfetti cake there. You need to get used to it.
That's what a lot of wedding people say, that Funfetti is a big choice of theirs.
It makes sense, because that... Funfetti, like, I remember, was a thing when we were kids in the
80s.
Yeah,
it's nostalgia.
It's nostalgia.
I don't have to like it. I'll still judge that cake. I will eat it, however.
You'll eat it. And if it tastes very good, you'll eat a second helping.
No, that's the thing. The cake's not going to. It's all about the appearance. The thing about it is, I'm going to go into this. The cake has never been about the appearance of the actual the cake inside.
Mm-hmm.
It just matters about the moistness and the crumb of the cake. It's never about how the cake exactly looks.
Uh-huh.
That's what the icing, that's what the frosting is for. That's the eye-catching.
Uh-huh.
That's why you don't need fucking Funfetti.
But with Funfetti, though, you cut into it and you go, oh, there's a surprise. There's Funfetti.
How does it taste?
I don't... But it's both. It gives you...
It's a symbol.
We eat with our eyes.
No, I eat with my taste buds.
You have told me that people eat with their eyes. If food doesn't look good.
Listen, we do eat with our eyes, but that's the thing. Cake, the amalgam that is cake, is that's what the frosting is for.
I wish I had a piece of really good Funfetti cake right now to just put in front of you and watch you eat it.
I would say that you have to put a lot in Funfetti just to make it good. Because the cake has to be white to have Funfetti. You can't do... Maybe you can do yellow Funfetti.
Maybe.
Wouldn't show up as
well. You could even do chocolate Funfetti.
That's ridiculous.
What? You could.
No, you can't. That's stupid. That's stupid talk.
A strawberry Funfetti cake would be cute. It'd be like pink with Funfetti in it.
Dumb.
It'd be cute.
Not a thing.
Lemon be great. The yellow cake with the Funfetti.
No, you're just saying stupid things now.
No, it'd be really nice.
Anyway, I need to move on past the Funfetti.
Y'all, we're going to take a commercial break and we'll be right back.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify.
With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
And our next look, we have Sierra, who's serving up courtyard chic. She's wearing a cute little pleated skirt. She has a tennis racket purse with actual balls in it. And she's looking like she's ready to look ridiculous on national television.
I know. I was like, when this tennis fashion thing, I understand that it can be suggestion of tennis. This was actual tennis clothes.
Well, I used to play. I need to get back into it. That's a goal this year. But I used to play tennis a lot. And this is literally what people play tennis on the court with. This isn't even suggestion.
It's not fashion.
You're so right. Do you know what this is? The whole time, these are totally the same type of outfits from the movie Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, when they have the fashion show at the end and they're all like, there's redhead who's the doctor, and the type of the language that Paige is using.
Yes, that you are so right.
Just like when Christina Aguilera is introduced, or Christina
Applegate
is introducing all of the fucking outfits.
Yes.
Next we have Nicole, because that was Nicole, the red. Remember, because he was in love with Nicole.
Yes. Because
God, that's a good movie.
But it seemed like Christina Applegate had more experience than Paige did.
Yes. 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 She's trying to do all of it for Rose.
Also, did you notice that like the producer also had to model the clothes?
Yes, the producer also had to. Yes. I did not understand these outfits.
This was bargain basement
segment. All those outfits were only $60 each. And I thought, you would never wear this, Paige.
No.
Never.
Nothing that she wears costs anything less than $150 for ensemble.
At least.
Yeah. That was laughable. You're right. You know, because, you know, tennis fashion is supposed to suggest it. You don't look like you've just come from the tennis court.
No, I literally thought Paige's mother was going to come out of the thing and going, Paige, what are all these people doing in my house?
Sierra had a tennis racket with her.
That Paige would have had this big awakening, and we would have found out after all these years, she would have said, I'm sorry, I'm just a teenager, and ran off stage.
This was laughable.
This was laughable, and it made me want to watch one of my favorite movies ever. Did we do that movie as a watch and chat?
We did.
Oh, good movie.
So the next thing I have is that they're going out right before this. They get a call. Their florist backed out, and the reason why they're like, so apparently they had a problem with all the design feedback we were giving them. And
I love that Amanda said, I mean, we showed them mood boards. And Kyle's like, and it looked nothing like it.
Y'all, Amanda and Kyle are going to end up, are they going to end up being that couple from Best in Show with the braces?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to.
They're wedding monsters.
They're wedding monsters.
Yes. Yeah.
Monsters.
We showed the mood boards. That was a laugh line.
That made me. Oh.
I did screech like a howler monkey.
Feel for them because 3 weeks before you're going to get married.
That sucks.
Good luck finding a florist because as Kyle said, that's one of the things they budgeted for. That's a lot of money.
How does someone, they signed a contract. How do you get out of that?
I don't know. Because you could sue them.
Yeah. Y'all, if they did not have a contract.
And also.
With these people.
Yeah, that means they didn't have a contract. And also, the style of flowers should have been decided months ago.
Yeah.
Because
this feels a little fraudacity for me.
Yeah, because they have to. Y'all, Poodle's music director, and I've been a best man to too many weddings. They've got to order your fucking flowers.
No, this stuff is decided at least. Your flowers should have been decided at least 4 to 6 months in advance.
Yes.
At least.
Yes. They know what's in season then.
Y'all,
they know
what's
order. Someone
listening just heard she's getting married 2 months. She went, oh, fuck.
She just went, oh, my God. Carl, you better call your cousin Tandy because I think her ass is grass on her wedding day.
Hello, Ralphs. Can you put my flowers for my wedding?
Hi, is this a Piggly? This is Carl's wife. I'm calling for my niece, Tandy. Do y'all got any? What flowers do y'all have?
Aunt Tandy, you're the best man ever.
I'll do it for you. Shooter, go get Mama's pocketbook so I can write him a check. Come on, Shooter. Come on.
They don't take checks no more. Y'all, oh, damn.
Carl's wife is that woman while you're waiting in your fucking grocery store line that pulls out her checkbook to write a check.
And they are American flag checks.
Oh, yes, they are. They are. And then when they ask for her license, she doesn't have it ready and she has to dig in her purse.
No.
Yeah.
And then I grit my teeth so hard, I almost break part of a tooth.
She goes, oh, by the way, Tandy, could you go over to aisle 2 and get that Velveeta? I won't make a casserole tonight.
And I have to scream.
I know it's in here somewhere.
And I have to scream when I get in the car and throw myself against my steering wheel because I'm so angry.
So, y'all, real quick, you already talked about it, but they're all going to prom together.
Yeah.
They're already setting up. Lindsay and Carl are going to prom together. Yeah. Andrea and Paige are going together. And the girls, this is part of the tea bag. The girls ask them later, Sierra and Maya, they're like, oh, is it going to be, and Amanda, is it going to be a big deal, Paige, that you're going to prom with Andrea? And Paige says, well, actually, we're not boyfriend and girlfriend, but I talked to Craig and we're exclusively just hooking up with one another. Boy, that's the most fucking Charleston man way of not saying you
it
have
really
a girlfriend.
Is. Yeah.
I'm exclusive. That's almost, what is worse, telling someone I'm exclusively hooking up with you or calling someone a potential? It's kind of debatable.
A potential is even worse, I think.
Okay, all right.
A potential. Now, I've got to say, if this had happened to any of Paige's friends, if this was happening to, she would read them for filth and say, you are so much worth than that.
I want to know what Hannah thought about this.
I'm shocked that Sierra, and I guess because they know Paige is not convincible, Sierra and Maya just let all that go.
I am surprised. I'm very surprised Maya especially didn't say anything.
Well, I think Sierra knows Paige more. So maybe Maya doesn't feel like she has that right.
Maybe.
But yeah, I think that's a friendship letdown.
Agreed. I agree.
Because Paige would come for any one of her friends who did that.
That's all I have except for the dinner.
Let's talk about the dinner. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. Woo! It looked really pretty. Y'all, so last weekend, Luke's back. And Luke's just trying to talk, and no one wants to listen to Luke.
Well, I think we've gotten to a point in the season where chit-chat isn't appreciated, you know? And I think everyone's so tired of everyone too this season.
And nobody wants to hear Luke talk about building an igloo again.
Or some new girl. They're introducing a new girl at the end. And we're like, we've introduced people the whole season. Do we have to be interested in who the fuck Nicole is?
And, you know,
Lindsay, we had some beers.
And Lindsay brings up a good point that everyone is coming at me about who I'm fucking.
Yeah.
But no one's coming at Luke.
She's like, why is no one coming at a 37-year-old man over here?
And Paige is like, you're right.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. It's some bullshit. And I don't even think it's like, what?
Yeah, you see Paige and Lindsay on the same side, and you're like, is this the bizarro world?
And also, too, what kind of dinner do you have where everyone, one person holds court at a dinner with, we go to dinners all the time, and you have side chats at dinner.
Well, what happens is Luke thought since he hadn't been, I'm not really trying to defend him here, but Luke thought since he hadn't been there in a while,
like,
he gets to say his piece or something. And it turns out, I even wrote down, so many conversations are happening.
Yes.
And because Andrea was talking, Amanda is starting to cry about something.
Kyle just says in the middle of the dinner.
He says, Lindsay had a miscarriage.
Lindsay, no, he said.
You had a miscarriage.
Lindsay, you had a miscarriage. And I have to say.
He's drunk already.
Do I think Lindsay glossed over her miscarriage?
100%.
Do I think it's for me to call out Lindsay's
0%
the way that she grieves about her miscarriage? Fuck no.
Fuck off. It's you get this that is, you get her the word miscarriage Lindsay's miscarriage out of your
probably,
mouth.
Probably, and I can't believe I'm saying this. This is out of at least the three seasons I've watched, this is the most egregious thing someone has ever done to someone else to me on Summer House.
Yeah.
That is really a horrible fucking thing that you're trying to. And almost it feels like they're trying to weaponize Lindsay's miscarriage to humble her.
Well, if it would have been anyone besides Kyle, it would not have ended well.
No, that's true. And it's also, I mean, you're not Iyanla Van Zandt. You're not going to walk up to them and say, beloved, and hold them by the face and say, you're not. It's not one of those moments. This is not that show. This is Summer House.
Yeah, I agree.
Ugh.
Summer should be fun.
That turned my stomach when he said
it was
that.
Awful. It was it absolutely was awful.
Awful. It was almost like your fiance is coming from another country and you're going to show her that a dirtbag house you grew up in and not show her your real house.
And bring her and pick her up in a rapist van.
Y'all, this new season of 90 Day Fiancé is fucking bonkers.
I've still been thinking about it.
I have too.
I cannot believe the audacity of that man.
I think this is going to be a ride of a season.
I pray that woman isn't with him now.
Oh, I hope so. No.
I was going to say a rosary for her, and I'm not even Catholic.
Just like those signs in Philadelphia said, say a rosary
every
day.
Say the rosary daily.
I was like, well, way to guilt the ex-Catholic. Thanks. I can't even find my rosary. It's somewhere in my desk.
You still have a rosary?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the one I got for First Communion.
Does it mean anything to you?
It does, actually. I did it. I said a rosary when my dad was dying.
Oh, okay.
So actually,
I understand
it's
comfort of it.
It's not necessarily that I believe that I believe in the sin and all
right.
that. But it was just for
it's
me
the
like
comfort of the process.
The comfort, and I do believe in God and higher. So it's like the communication with that for me. But I loved it as a kid because I'd wear it as a necklace. I loved wearing my long because I felt like Madonna because Madonna had the long rosary.
I'm aware.
And so I would wear my rosary and dance around and dance to like Borderline and Hanky Panky.
Faggots can make anything jewelry. You can quote me on that.
And then I found out you were supposed to
little gay
hold
boys,
on to it to pray.
Little gay boys will make anything jewelry. Smarties. Earrings.
I even one of my friends, she didn't want her rosary, and she had because they a lot of times would give the boys black ones, and sometimes girls would get white ones, and I would get both of them and put them on, and they'd be like bangles, and I could wrap them up and do. Wow. I know there is many Catholics and ex-Catholics out there that relate to me. There's the best meme a sissy sent me, because we just had Palm Sunday before Easter, and they talked about what all the little gay things gay boys could do with, because on Palm Sunday, you know, you get the palm.
Oh, yes, the palm fronds.
And you can, like, some people can fold them into, like, a cross, or they'll do that, but, oh, as a gay boy, you would use it as, like, a swish.
Yes.
And you'd fold it, and you'd curl. Oh, my, it was me.
Leave that to my Episcopalian church, where we did a Palm Sunday parade, and rang bells, and we walked up and pumped umbrellas in the street. That is when you have gay priests.
That's what happens when you have gay priests.
Like, we diverted traffic on Palm Sunday. It's ridiculous.
It's a very gay church that he goes
to. It's a great floor show.
It's true. It's a great floor show. What were we talking about?
Oh, yeah. Kyle banged the table and said, "No one's listening to Luke." And basically, he did this because it's not about Luke, you guys. It's about losing the floors. It's about losing it that there's so much pressure. He is $4 million in debt, and there's a lawsuit, and he just spurts it out because he has not told anyone.
We didn't even know that there's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
So he's dealing with that, and it's actually even Carl takes him aside, and Carl, because Kyle leaves, and Carl says, "Dude, you got to calm down."
I wonder if Amanda knows the extent of all of that.
I don't. So here's the deal. Well, first of all, I 100% have seen this, and maybe I'll get back last for it. Maybe he'll hear this, but maybe he'll listen to it. Kyle's an alcoholic, and he's using alcohol to deal with his stress, and which is really understandable, because the way I see him now, sympathize with him now, is he's doing everything. Amanda doesn't have any idea about this, because he probably thinks, if I tell Amanda about this, then she's going to freak out. And then on top of everything else I have to take care of, I've got to take care of her reaction to this.
Yeah.
And because I do think Kyle's like has a good heart. We both have said that. He's very sensitive. But I just went, oh, man, like he's such personification of what men, especially what straight men, can only be in this country, is they have to have it all together or they have to be angry.
Right.
And we said that before, but y'all, we're seeing it in front of our eyes. And he can't ever ask for help.
No.
Because that's not what that's a man weakness. Does. That's weakness. And he can't, but you feel like maybe the one person he could ask from help from would be his fiance, but she doesn't seem like she can do anything.
Yeah.
It was like watching this episode, it was like a butterfly effect or something in my mind where I flash back to all the instances where I saw Amanda laying on a couch, Amanda laying on a bed.
Being a sentient hoodie. That's why I call her that.
Amanda laying on a chair going, "Kyle, I need help. Kyle. It's like it flashed all through my brain and I saw it clearly.
She's very
now.
Good at handling other people's business. Not great at handling hers.
He is the best thing that could happen to her, and she is
you have
make
really
his life
turned
miserable.
180 on
I
her.
Told
wow,
and I was a big Amanda, and I don't think she's a bad person or an evil person. Yeah. I just think that she's a spoiled brat.
I think I'm even
not
more of,
brat.
A, of an Amanda supporter. Than
I think
you
she's
are
just
at this point.
You know, she's a spoiled hoodie. She's a spoiled hoodie.
That, to me, that is the personification of Amanda, is a concert hoodie that you've had for a long
and
time.
And for Amanda to go to grow as a person, Amanda's going to... Now, I do feel for her in that she is dealing with his alcoholism.
Yep, that's...
I won't go back on anything I said, that it's horrible that she's dealing with that.
That's not fair, yeah.
And that she's put herself... in the perfect situation to care. That's when she does feel needed.
Yep.
When he's broke. Like, they need years of couples therapy.
Right.
But what makes me lose trust in the working out this relationship, I actually think Kyle could probably change more than she could, because for her to change is going to be really uncomfortable, and she's going to have to take on a lot of
responsibility. She's not good at that. That's why she handles everyone else's problems besides hers.
Ding, ding. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of is a la luce there as well.
Yeah. La luce.
A light.
Oh, la luce.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I said. What Senora Sneed taught me, light?
No, it
la
is
luce.
La luce. La luce, yeah.
The light, yeah.
Yeah.
So y'all, yay, they're getting married.
I think it's the next episode or the next one.
Yeah, it's coming up. Y'all, that's it.
So we're going to be happy and we're just going to sit there and just like swallow our bile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it all, she seemed crazy, but now we know why Handa was so upset. Because.
Hannah.
What did I say?
Handa.
Handa.
You combined Amanda and Hannah. Handa.
But it's because it's a whole you spot it, you got it. When Hannah cannot stand to see a woman being manipulated by Kyle's alcoholism and like Paige came after Kyle this episode because she said, Kyle, you think you can control everything.
Right.
And it's like he has to control everything in Amanda and his relationships and it drives these other women crazy, yet Hannah got into a relationship
Hannah
like
is
that.
Very intelligent.
She's very
big. Hannah was one of the most perceptive people in that house.
She was.
She just weaponized all of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she got into a relationship with Dez, who controlled her.
They should be getting married anytime soon.
They should already be married.
I wonder if Hannah was at this wedding.
No! No way. No way. If Hannah shows up at the wedding last minute and we just see her as a guest, I'll be gooped. Anyway, I enjoyed talking about
I'll
this episode
gagged.
With you.
Me too.
The episode was boring, and I had a better time with you, to be
honest. Agreed.
All right, everybody. That's
you're 180 on Amanda. I'm not that surprised. I've been half there.
Well, I haven't seen all the previous seasons that you have. I've only seen, this is episode 6 or season 6?
Season 6.
I've only seen season 5. Did we do 4?
No.
I've only seen 5 and 6, so
you've
I don't
seen
have
the best of Amanda.
I don't see the herstory,
especially in the early seasons.
Yeah, I feel like when we go back and watch the early seasons, she's gonna drive me fucking crazy.
She will. Yeah,
because I know I get triggered by it, but it's that Chelsea Marlezzi thing will drive me nuts.
Carl will drive you even crazier because he just makes really bad choices.
Oh God.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, that's the show. You can go to realitygaze.com. You can, if you wanted to listen to this episode without commercials, you can do that by joining our $8 tier on our Patreon and Supercast, because those are commercial-free for your pleasure.
For your pleasure. We're also going to be announcing tour dates very soon. I know we said we're going to announce them on Monday, but we're still waiting on theaters, and we're not going to do it piecemeal.
I know
you guys.
We shouldn't have. We learned. We shouldn't have even teased you. Because I've already gotten 2 messages of saying, where are the dates? I'm looking for them. I can't find them.
I know. We fucked up.
We fucked up. It's on us. Well, actually not. The theaters told our booking that they were going to be. Yeah. They fucked up. But
we need to know from now on that we need to. We don't need to announce. We don't even need to plan an announce date until we got everything booked.
Y'all, it's going to be like the way a parent knows not to tell a child. Like, my mother knew not to tell me that we were going to go to Sizzlin' Sirloin unless my dad already decided that we're going to go to Sizzlin' Sirloin. Yeah. Because if she promised me that salad bar with the fried okra and we wouldn't go, there would have been hell to pay.
Not sirloin stockade, though.
No, hell to pay. I'm sure your mother was the same thing. Oh, we can't tell Jaybird we're going here.
No, it was good not to tell me to build up any expectation.
And then if she told you and if you're going, then I would have talked to her about it incessantly.
Yeah.
It's just, we're going to tell y'all.
I'd get those apple rings. God, I loved apple rings. Don't you remember apple rings?
My country!
They were dyed red and they were delicious. They're probably the red dye is still circulating in my body
you couldn't
somewhere.
Even eat them now, probably. They'd
no, they're
too
so sweet.
Cheaper, you gonna eat apple rings for your lunch? That's it. God.
A lot of apple rings. Ugh. You could eat an apple at the home. Fucking apple rings. Y'all come at me if you remember apple rings on a salad bar.
Oh, God.
If you put an apple ring in front of me right now, I would probably throw it away like it was, or throw it, like hit at it like it was a rat.
You would take a bite first.
No, I wouldn't. I'd say, get that out of my face.
Well, all right, then.
Delicious.
Okay, everybody.
Apple rings and cottage cheese.
And cottage cheese. Oh, cottage cheese was too expensive to buy at home.
Wow.
Anyway, y'all. All right. We'll see you next week, y'all.
Ooh, boy, I got something to process with those Apple rings.
We
got
to process a lot of shit right now. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate it. Follow us on Instagram. Follow our memes on TikTok, Twitter. We're there. We'll see you on live show dates coming up soon. And then, how does this show end? until then,
y'all remember,
if you're in line at a Sizzlin' Sirloin or a Ryan's
or where did you go? Western Sizzler.
You went to Western Sizzler.
Yeah, or Ryan's.
Right. If you're in that line.
Or Quincy's. We had Quincy's.
You're in line at a
Quincy's had a big fat yeast roll.
You're at a Quincy's and the woman in front of you takes all the apple rings.
You just mutter to yourself. Ugh. I bet her name was Tracy. Who's Tracy? And the slow part at the end. In September, they'll all go back to their Google Hangout, their Zoom, and their Slack. And even though summer came to an end, they'll continue to be best of friends
on Insta.
Summer's nuts because of these sluts.
Oh.
But, what are you gonna do?
That summer.
Fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.